All right, Alexander, let's talk about the UK and let's talk about the Tories, the Conservative Party, and Farage. A lot of stuff happening in the UK. Boris Johnson gave an interesting interview to CNN. He kind of he lashed out at Germany and a little bit Italy as well. And it was an interesting video. Boy, when Boris talks, he really talks. My God, you can't keep a secret with Boris, that's for sure. And I saw a magazine article. I think it was The Economist. I'm trying to remember if it was The Economist or what magazine article. But they said the sick man of Europe. And it was
Prospect, I think it was. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not sure the magazine, but I remember the cover was The Sick Man of Europe, the UK. And they were referencing how Brexit had made the UK the sick man of Europe. And we have Farage. We've talked about Farage. Where is Farage? What's Farage doing? Where is he? Is he the only one, perhaps, that can shake up the political scene? And it looks like he's popped up again. What is going on in the UK?
Absolutely. Now, he's written an absolutely fiery article in The Telegraph, which I sent to you a copy, in which he says that he's not going to see his entire work of 25 years over Brexit destroyed, turned, shredded by the Sunak Hunt government, which is essentially what they're doing. I ought to explain to our viewers that over the last couple of days, there's been a mini crisis in Britain, because there's been reports that the Sunak Hunt government is trying to find some kind of relationship with the EU, and they were looking at the model that Switzerland has of, you know, for trading relations with the EU, which essentially means bringing Britain back into the EU single market. In other words, doing what Theresa May wanted to do, but actually going even further than that. And there was an outcry, and Sunak had to come out and say, this is not what we are going to do at all. Nobody believes that. Farage has made it absolutely clear in this article that he doesn't believe that. He made it very clear also that he doesn't take Sunak's protestations that he's any kind of Brexiteer at all seriously. He points out that Hunt, who's the finance minister or Chancellor of the Exchequer, that Hunt is a dyed-in-the-wool Remainer, but he's always been known to be a Remainer. He also points out the economic policies of the Sunak Hunt government. He makes almost identical analysis to the one that we did a few days ago, about a week ago, in our latest programme after the mini-budget, the government's mini-budget, that, you know, we become a very high-tax, very high-spend, stagnating, declining economy. Farage said that. He also, by the way, talked about the fact that Sunak and Hunt came to power via a coup. If you remember our discussions of the fall of the Truss Kwarteng government, we also used the expression coup to describe what happened. So his analysis of the politics and of the economics is very close to ours. He talked about how the British government, the Conservative government, is betraying its promises over immigration, how far from reducing immigration, they seem to be looking for ways to increase it on the basis that that's the only way to get any kind of economic growth in Britain at all. Yet, you know, all these young people from Eastern Europe or wherever to come here and, you know, do things and, you know, whatever it is, that will presumably provide some degree of economic activity. And Farage said he's not prepared to sit back and let all of that happen. He's pointed out that the Conservatives are polling around 20%. And he's also said that he's seen opinion polls that say that most people, that around 40% of Britons have said that they would vote for a party led by Farage, though he's made it clear that at the moment that's not his plan. He's going to work with the party that he created, Reform UK, and that he's going to become active again in supporting that party. We'll come to that in a moment. And anyway, he's clearly broadcasting his intention to re-enter British politics in a big way. And last but not least, he said that the Conservatives have no achievements for their 12 years in office. That's a criticism you hear from many people, and that there's not going to be any future deals between him and the Conservative Party. So, in effect, what he's now looking to do is replace the Conservatives as the dominant political force on the right.
Can he do it?
Well, if anybody can.
I ask you this question, and let me just say, I ask you this question not only from numbers and polling standpoint, but it also seems that Farage has never been interested in being a career politician. That's why I ask you. It doesn't seem, I mean, 20 years in the EU, granted all of that, but it seems like that was his life's goal, was getting Brexit. At least in my opinion, it never seemed like Farage had the ambition to become, say, a prime minister of the UK. I don't know. That's just how I'm reading Farage. I could be completely wrong, though. So that's why I ask you, can he do it? Not only from a polling standpoint, but also a personal.
Well, that's a very good point. Well, I mean, if anybody can do it at this point in time, it can only be Farage. I mean, he has shown in the past his ability to energise British politics. It's very difficult to convey the sense of malaise in Britain. On both sides of the political divide, by the way, I mean, the Conservatives are polling around 20%. The Labour Party is polling, you know, in the mid-40s, which may seem strong, but the lack of enthusiasm and support for the Labour Party is palpable. I've been reading more and more articles now, indeed from many different parts of the media, but saying that especially on the right, there is a vast gaping vacuum now being created because there is no belief any longer that the Conservative Party is fit for purpose, that it's not doing what it was elected to do, that it's not representative of the people that it was supposed to be representing. And Farage is pitching himself as the person to provide the substitute for that. Now, coming back to your point about Farage not being a professional politician, I think that is exactly correct. I think he was never interested in anything beyond Brexit. I think he's very gradually come to realise that the only way that Brexit, as he envisages it, can happen is if he takes control. Because the moment he leaves the political scene, what you see is a backsliding take place. It took place when he quit after the referendum in 2016, and we saw that with Theresa May. And of course, it's happened again after the 2019 election. So he finds himself in a position where he really has no option, as he sees it, than to actually re-engage in British politics. He makes it very clear in that very same article that his primary reason for doing this is to protect Brexit, which is the cause that he gave, committed 25 years of his life. Now, can he do it? Always the odds against breaking the hold of the political class in Britain are enormous, and they should not be underestimated. But Farage does have name recognition. He has shown that he has immense political skills. He does have traction with working class opinion in England. And if anybody can do it, perhaps he can. And I'm going to say this, to get a sense of the malaise, you were talking about Britain being the sick man of Europe, and the way in which it's been blamed on Brexit. But I mean, I'm not going to go there, but I mean, I don't think it's got anything to do with Brexit, actually. And I've seen lots of studies about this. I mean, it's one series of catastrophic decisions after another since the 2019 election, and indeed before. But the point was, yesterday, I went into the centre of London. I was in Piccadilly. I had some business to do in central London. Now, Piccadilly is right at the centre of Mayfair, the richest area of London. It's one of the most expensive, one of the richest shopping districts in the world. It's where Fortnum and Mason's, people may know, it's one of the grocery store where the queen, you know, the monarchy buys its things. That's where that's located. That's where all the gentlemen's clubs that you all hear about, that's that area where it is. And I have never seen so much sign of economic distress as I saw when I was there. About a third of the shop windows around on Piccadilly were vacant. Shops, and I'm talking about expensive, high-end shops, the kind of that rich people spend their money in, have closed. And I've never seen this before in all my time in Britain. So there is a state of decay, a sense of crisis. The Conservative Party has clearly lost its way. The Labour Party, nobody takes seriously. You have one individual who has name recognition and seems to know his mind and isn't part of the political class and has a history of not compromising. Perhaps, despite all the odds, he can make a breakthrough.
Right. Well, the reason that the UK is in this trouble has nothing to do with Brexit. I agree with you. I think we've been very clear as to why the UK is in this mess. Lockdowns and sanctions against Russia. Very
yeah,
simple.
Absolutely.
Final question. Where is the alternative to Labour? How come Corbyn or someone like Corbyn with name recognition doesn't start his own party and go the route of Farage? Why is it so difficult for the UK, being a parliamentary system? Why is it so difficult to have alternative parties, to have different parties? I'm left, right, centre, whatever. Why is it so hard to break through?
Because in parliament, there is an electoral problem, which is that in parliamentary constituencies, because it's a first-past-the-post system, people who don't like the Labour Party, for example, vote Conservative. People who don't like the Conservatives tend to vote Labour. It's a little bit like the duopoly that you see in the United States. There's something of that factor as well. But the major reason why Labour and Conservative are so powerful in Britain is because, of course, they have all of the networks, all of the structures that comes from being the political class working for them. They have the media, they have enormous influence over social media, they have the whole apparatus of the British deep state, which, by the way, does exist, which basically props them up. I mean, even, for example, let me give you an example, advertising. During elections, I mean, it's well known, for example, that, you know, advertising companies will provide space, you know, on street corners for Conservative posters and Labour posters, and they won't provide space for posters by rival parties. I mean, you know, it's a small thing, but it's just one example of how the system works. So it's extremely difficult. And you face abuse and criticism and that kind of thing. But Farage has had 25 years plus of working against this. And perhaps he knows how to cut through. And, you know, he's been somebody who's worked the pubs, gone to the halls, spoken to people in schools, you know, school halls and school places, and, you know, addressed audiences of three people who then became 30 and then 300 and then 3,000. Anyway, he's done it. So he has that degree of name recognition and he's worked incredibly hard. He's built up a loyal support base in Britain. He's got the structures to support him. There is no equivalent to that to Sir Farage on the left. The left, once upon a time in Britain, did have its own alternative structures, but they were all eviscerated during the Blair era. And Corbyn was not leader of the Labour Party long enough to build alternative structures. And besides, he was hopeless at it. He was a dreadful organiser. And to say it straightforwardly, he doesn't have the political skills that Farage does. And no one on the left in Britain does either.
All right. We will leave it there. TheDuran.locals.com and go to the Duran shop. 10% off. Use the code GOODDAY. And you will also find us on Rockfin as well. Take care.